the time to be with family and friends and enjoy the goodness of God and just give thanks for all His many blessings. Praise God. Amen. Before we break for the Christmas holiday, we have two classes, this one and next week. Do anybody know right offhand? I'm just curious how many classes. I think we have this week and next week, if I'm not mistaken. If anybody know for sure, just let me know. I'm trying to make sure, just kind of get a feel. I think it is two classes left. Because the third week, I think we're going to be on the Christmas break or the semester break. Amen? All right. All right. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. Let's bow our heads for a brief word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this time of the year, Lord God. We're celebrating Jesus' birth, Lord God, and we're giving thanks for all your many blessings, Lord God. We just thank you right now, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for our families. We thank you, Lord God, that you have called us, Lord God, and you have sanctified us and set us apart, Lord God, for the work that you have called us to, Lord God. And we thank you for this school of ministry, Lord God, Ever-Increasing Word Training Center, and Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. and the First Family, Lord God. We thank you for the vision that you have put in them, Lord God, and that we are a part of that vision, Lord God. And we thank you right now, we're being trained up and we're being nurtured and we're being fortified, Lord God, to go forth, Lord God, as ambassadors and representatives for the kingdom of God. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory. And Lord, as always, I thank you that the Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. So I am totally and completely dependent upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started. Today we're going to talk about principal truths of honor. I want to begin by reading in Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 8. We're going to be looking at some principal truths, not only of honor, but how honor and authority relate to one another. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible because I want to point out some specific points that the Amplified Bible touches on in Romans 13, 1 through 8. It says in verse 1 of Romans 13 chapter, it says, "Let every person be loyally subject to the governing authorities or the civil authorities. For there is no authority except from God, by His permission, His sanction, or those that exist do so by God's appointment." So every person should be loyally subjected or in subjection to the civil. And when you talk about civil, you talk about state, local authorities, you talk about government principalities on a city, country, parish, nation basis. Amen. Then verse 2 says, "Therefore, he who resists and sets himself against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order." And I want to make emphasis on in divine order. It says, the first part of number 2 says again, "Therefore, he who resists and sets himself up against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them." Verse 3, "For the civil authorities are not a terror to people of good conduct, but of those of bad behavior. Would you not have no dread of him who is an authority? Then do that which is right, and you will receive his approval and commendation." Verse 4, "For he is a servant of God for your good. But if you do wrong, you should dread him and be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant to execute his wrath, punishment, vengeance on evildoers. Therefore," verse 5, "therefore one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath and and escape punishment, but also as a matter of principle for the sake of conscience. Verse 6, for this same reason you pay taxes for civil authorities and official servants under God, devoting themselves to the attention to every service. Let me read that again. For this reason we pay taxes for civil authorities are official servants under God, devoting themselves to attending to these services. Then it says in verse 7, and that's one of the key verses I want to key in on. Verse 7 says, render to all men their dues. Pay taxes to whom taxes is due. Revenue to whom revenue is due. Respect to whom respect is due. And honor to whom honor is due. Now I want to read that same verse in the King James Version. Verse number 7. It says, render therefore to all their dues. By dues we mean, I'm paraphrasing. By dues we mean what's owed as an obligation. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear is due. And honor to whom honor is due. We're going to be covering these four types of honor. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear. That word fear there doesn't mean a scary fear or a frightful fear. It means a reverential fear. We ought to render fear or a reverence to whom reverence is due. And we ought to honor, to give honor to whom honor is due. How many people attended the Prosperity Revival we had a couple of weeks ago? Raise your hand, just kind of show of about everybody here. And if you were there doing Nature Arts Night, that was a perfect example of showing honor to whom honor is due. Matter of fact, for people who are members of the church here, we know that this past Sunday was the First Lady's birthday. And we, again, showed honor to whom honor is due. You know, it's one thing to talk about honor. It's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to demonstrate it. You know, if you can say it, you can give it lip service all you want. But the only way, and I like the way Dr. Phillips said, the only way people know what's in your heart is by what you have in your hand, by showing honor. And we talked about this also, too, in earlier classes. The less is blessed for the better. When you sow up, when you sow honor upwardly, the anointing and the blessing that's on those who you're sowing into, that anointing and blessing and favor comes down upon your life. You know, so it's just a spiritual principle. And we're going to be talking about that more in detail. But one of the things we want to also talk about, and I want to make sure that we look at it from both angles, there's a spiritual side to sowing honor, sowing tribute, sowing customs, but there's also a natural side. A lot of times people want the spiritual benefits of honor, but they're not doing the natural things they need to do. Even though the spiritual comes first, but because we live in the natural, we have laws and rules and regulations set up by society that we must adhere to. It's hard to be blessed when, let me read verse 8 because I want to get to that one also. Verse 8 says, keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another. For he that loveth his neighbor who practices love, loving others, will fulfill the law relating to one's fellowship, meeting all requirements. And that's coming from the Amplified. Basically, King James says, owe no man nothing but to love him. But the key I want to point out is, but if you want spiritual laws to work on your behalf, you also must operate in natural laws. You know, I'll give you an example. You believe in God for financial breakthrough, and you're reading these scriptures, you know, about honor, but you got back taxes that you didn't pay, or you got some speeding tickets. You know, your license got revoked because you got 5 or 6 speeding tickets, you know, that you don't want to pay, you know. So The scripture says to render to Caesar what's Caesar and render to God what's God. So we want to make sure that we're honoring or we're respecting the government. And you see, the Bible says, and we read it here, that every person or every is subject or submitted to God's authority, that we should be. There's no power, there's no authority but of God. All powers, all authority, civil, national authority, governmental authority, all of this is instituted and regulated and ordained by God. Because as we stated in earlier classes, God is a God of order. He's a God of divine order. And he sets up, a matter of fact, the Bible says that the government is upon his shoulders. We're looking at that from a spiritual perspective, and we know how God set up his government, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Jesus being the chief cornerstone, he's the chief apostle, and how the anointing of God flows down and how the apostolic goes up and it fellowships with God and it goes up and it gets divine revelation and knowledge, and it takes that and it imports it to us. But at the same time, there are still natural laws and natural governments that we need to also adhere to if we want to be blessed. So we are obligated to give tribute to whom tribute is due. We are obligated to give custom to whom custom is due. We're obligated to give fear to whom fear is due. And we are obligated to give honor to whom honor is due. And that word obligate or obligation means required to compel, bond by, or it's a requirement, and it compels us or it bonds us to a moral obligation or a spiritual obligation. Paul says we are obligated to show these four types of honor to all men. We're going to examine each and every one of them. Okay, this is something that you're going to need to know here. Anytime you go any place in any region, now I want to preference this by saying, when the author was talking about these particular types of honor, he was using it in reference to when you minister in other places or in other countries, in other areas where there's different customs, where there's different traditions, where there's different laws set up. You just can't go into a country and violate their customs, violate their laws, and expect the anointing of God to weigh upon you heavily and the people receive from you, because you're violating their natural customs. Now, if their customs violate and defy or are against the word of God, no, we're not. In other words, if their custom is every day at 12 o'clock to get on your knees and pray to a dead God, we're not going to do that, because that violates scripture. God is a jealous God. He's not to have any other gods before them. But if they have customs in certain English countries, I remember there was something that happened with the president a year or so ago when they were visiting the Queen and they were in England, and you're really not to shake the Queen's hand. You nod and there's certain protocol, there's certain pomp and circumstance that you do in certain types of formal settings that you need to know. And even when you're ministering, and that's so very important, when you go to other countries, and one of the things I want to point, people say, he's talking about going to other countries. If you don't, have a vision for the world, your vision is small. This ministry is a worldwide ministry. I've had the privilege to go to another country and be a part of this ministry and see how people receive us in other countries. So that's a blessing. Always expand your vision. God is bigger than Darrell. God is bigger than Baton Rouge. God is bigger than New Orleans or Louisiana. So always have your vision expanding to Lord, wherever you say go, that's where I want to be. Anyway, let me finish reading this statement here. Anytime you go any place in any region in the world and you have a tremendous anointing, that anointing level on your life goes all the way down if you dishonor the land, its people, their customs, and the apostolic gift in that region. Now, I added that last part to it, the apostolic gift in that region. But anytime you go into any region of the world, and you might have tremendous anointing, well, that anointing level will go all the way down if you violate or you dishonor the land, that country that you're in, the people and their customs, are the apostolic gift in that region. Because God cannot bless you when you are not operating in divine order. Because we just read in Romans 13 chapter that, you know, that God is a God of order and that all authority was set up by God. And it was to keep law and order. So that, and then if you go back to, I think it's 1 Timothy, where it talks about, God says that, you know, pray for all who are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. You know, so God wants us to flow in divine order, and that's so very important. Okay, like I said earlier, there are four types of honor bestowed, conferred, or presented to those worthy of honor. And that's tribute, custom, fear, and honor. When you visit a foreign nation, you are obligated to adhere to the policies and the culture of the land. And by doing so, as long as I said they don't violate God's word, you know, we need to adhere to their rules that govern that particular country. It says here, if you want God's presence, God's glory, and his anointing to show up, you must honor the laws of the land. If people, their customs, and the apostolic gift in the region, the people and the customs of the apostolic gift in that region needs to be honored. Because, as I stated earlier, God is a God of honor. And so it's so very important that we are cognizant, are conscious, and aware of what the rules, the regulations of various countries are, even various parts of the country. You know, I'll give you an example. And even in this country, when you go to minister at a local church, I'm going to give you a good example. Some 10, 12 years ago, I received a call from the church. We had a church member who had a loved one that went home to be with the Lord. And I was asked to go to represent the apostle at the funeral on behalf of the couple who had lost their mother. And so I had never been there before, and this was my first assignment in that capacity, you know. But I've been trained to, whenever I go into someone else's ministry, to submit to them and acknowledge myself, you know, as a representative of Word of Life Christian Center under the apostle, you know, and I'm here to serve in any capacity, and I'm here to represent the family, name the family, and whatever they request or don't request of me to do, I just have a seat and just be a part of the service. Well, this particular time, I got there about 10 minutes before the actual service was going to be starting, and just so happened the presiding minister was in the back, and I asked, you know, who is the officiating or the presiding minister of that particular church? And so they said, they brought me to him, and I stated that information to him, and I just said, you know, we're just here to support the family. And he says, well, I said, good. He said, we're about to start the processional. He said, I want you to walk right behind me and just follow me. And all of a sudden the doors open and the processional, which I had never seen a funeral processional before the church. I know after they have it, but we walked in. So I walked in behind him, and then he walks up in the pulpit. So I stopped at the first step, and then he saw me, and then he beckoned me to come up to the pulpit. So I walk up in the pulpit, and he stood by a seat, and then he beckoned me to sit at the other seat. So I sat there, and they continued singing, and then we sat down. He sat down, I sat down. Then he reached over to me. He says, I want you to do the opening prayer before I preach. And so somebody read the how the arrangements were going to be gone. And then he beckoned me to get up and lead the opening prayer. And the thing that really blessed me was because, you know, I was taught to follow procedure, protocol, and submission. You know, here I am now representing the apostle at a church of a family member, their loved ones, and I have an opportunity now to open up the service in prayer. It blessed me and it humbled me, you know, and you know, I did exactly what I was told to do, sat back down, and the service went on as the program, you know, was stated. But even so, in any area of ministry, it's very important to submit properly, to know who's in authority and submit to those who are in authority. Because the only way God is going to be able to entrust you with authority is when you first learn how to submit to authority. You know, I know that this class is 50 minutes, okay? Authority says don't go over 50 minutes. You know, I've learned to stay within whatever boundaries, whatever limits, whatever protocol that's set, because that's so very important. I'm kind of getting off the track, but you can't expect to be anointed. And God, if you don't follow orders and follow the customs or the guidelines that set you, you know, God is a God of order. And when you get out of order, you actually become a renegade. You know, a renegade is somebody that just do their own thing. You know, and they see the Spirit of God is not going to move. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. And so it's so very important that we follow the protocol and the mandates that set us so that we can be blessed and God can use us in the capacities that he wants to use us in. Amen. Okay. And my next statement here is God is a God of order. We must submit to the established order of government and the customs that are set up in the countries we evangelize, if we want God's presence and God's power to flow freely. You cannot do what you want to do and flow in God's power. You must follow protocol. And basically, that's what I just said. Amen. Let's move on. All right, the first one is tribute. Giving tribute to whom tribute is due. Okay, honor with tribute. When you travel to a foreign country or to a different part of the United States or, you know, different region of the country, you are subject to the tax structures and the civil government or the civil laws of that land. Tribute is honoring the laws, the taxes of that land, the government systems of that country. Tribute means to pay taxes, duty, taxes or government or payment to which includes import and exports of goods, services. That word tribute covers a lot of area. And it also means honor certain levels of structure within civil government. Okay, here's another definition. It says here, when you honor the laws of the land, you are giving tribute. When you honor the laws of the land, you are giving tribute, because whatever country you are in, you become subject to the tax structure and civil government of that land. Whenever the apostle travels abroad and he's flying over countries to get to his destination, you actually have to pay to fly over a country's airspace. You know, that's tribute. You know, they need to know where you're at, because otherwise you're in unauthorized or restricted airspace, you know, and you can be shot down, because they can consider you a threat. So you have to give them your itinerary, your flight itinerary. And if I'm not mistaken, I've heard it stated before that there's tribute or there's money that is paid to fly into and over, even if you don't touch down, if you're just flying over, that has to be all worked out beforehand. You know, and that's natural laws, you know, because when you violate the natural laws of a country, the people are not going to hear you. When you violate their customs, their rituals, you know, their traditions, they're going to shut down on you. I'm going to give you one kind of, I'm gonna try to keep it as spiritual as I can, but it's funny in a sense, but it's true. I remember reading years ago of an evangelist. He and his wife, they were in a foreign country. Which country, I'm not really sure. But it was in a kind of a third world type setting where they were living in tents, you know, huts and what have you. So the accommodations was rather primitive. And he and his wife had been married for years. They had children, you know, and they'd been evangelists for years. But they were in their private hut or tent or whatever as husband and wife performing relationships. I'm going to leave it at that. For some odd reason, somebody needed to see them like ASAP. So instead of knocking or calling them, they just kind of went and opened the curtain or the drape or the tent, unzipped it, and they observed them being husband and wife. But what they saw was taboo in their tradition or their custom. You know, it's not done this way in this country. Matter of fact, the penalty for what they saw was death. So they were drug out of there, and both of them were killed, you know? And you say, you know, but that was their tradition, you know? And that's kind of a really, how can I say, an extreme example. But the traditions were violated, and to those people of that third world country in that area, you know, hey, when you're caught in the act like this, you're gonna die. You know, so their ministry was over with, you know, but like I said, that's an extreme example, but there are other just even small things that we need to do and we need to learn when we're in other countries or in other regions to follow and that's why it's so important. The author talks about doing research. You know, I remember when the apostle went to Brazil, Dr. Daniel Robertson actually flew ahead of the apostle for several days to go and check out the land, to go and investigate and make sure that everything was set up properly, to learn and to research to where he needs to be, how this needs to be done. When we get there, a lot of times when you're in a foreign country, you got to go to customs. You got to declare what you bring. You know, what can we bring and what can't we bring, you know? Give you an example. I have had a relative. They lived in Saudi Arabia for years, worked for a large oil company. He and his wife and his children, whenever they were outside of the American compound, the wife had to walk behind the husband. That was just tradition, you know, that was their tradition. Her head had to be wrapped. The long dress had to be worn. That was tradition. So when you go and you say, well, you know, we don't do this in America. Well, guess what? You're not in America. You're in another country, you know? And so now you go on with, I'm just being hypothetical, going with 3-inch heels and, you know, a dress or a guy have, you know, a loud color clothes on or something, you know, something that just not customary there. And now you're going to expect him to hear the gospel that you're preaching. See what I'm saying? You know, it's gonna go in one ear. It might not even go in the ear. You know, in one ear, it might shut it down before it even get to their ear. You know, so these are things that have to be considered, you know, when you're ministering, and that's the customs or the, you know, of a particular area or region. Let me move on. So let me read this one more time. When you honor the laws of the land, you are given tribute. Because whatever country you are in, you become subject to the tax structure and the civil governments of that land. And I already stated about flying over a country. And there's other examples. I should have researched other just examples, but I think you understand where I'm coming from with that. You are obligated to abide by the laws that govern the land or country that you're in. If you violate the natural laws, you can't expect God to move on your behalf spiritually, you know, because there's an expression, and it kind of fits in this particular setting. When in Rome, as long as what Rome do don't violate the word of God, you do what the Romans do, you know, because Paul said to the Greek, I was a Greek. To the Hebrew, I was a Hebrew. You know, to the Jew, I was a Jew, that by any means I might win some. You know, so you want to be able to blend in so that they can accept you, and you want to make sure you understand their customs and their tradition. So now when you go, you're going to have a voice and you're going to be anointed and people are going to receive you. Amen. I remember when we were in Barbados, I was blessed with the opportunity to go back with the people who came up for invitations for salvation, rededication, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was this one young lady, I never forget, she had trouble receiving the Holy Spirit because the way she was taught was that, you know, she was supposed to feel something. It had to be something, you know, something had to move in the heavens or, you know, something miraculous before she knew she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so she was kind of waiting on something, you know, and just standing there. I said, no, just relax. The Holy Spirit, he does the infilling and you do the speaking. And say, if you don't move your lips and move your tongue, use your vocal cords, it's not going to come out. And she was waiting for something to trigger that. And so we had to actually began to kind of figure out by talking to her. And then when she said that, I said, no. And then I showed her scriptures and I said, you know, everything you receive from God, you receive by faith. You got to speak it out in faith. And when she recognized that nothing was going to happen until she exercised her faith, once she did that, her prayer language just exploded, you know. But because of the way people were taught or because of what they saw, a preconceived understanding was already there, was blocking her from receiving what God had already provided for her to have. And so that's very important to know those type of things. Let's move on. When you violate natural laws of a country that's under God's divine order and structure, you are in fact violating God's order. And I stated earlier, you know, we want to render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. Even though your ministry is minorly gifted and anointed of God, if you do not honor the laws of the country you're ministering, your ministry will, the author says, will dramatically be inhibited, and the anointing levels will go down because you're violating, you know, the laws and the traditions of that particular country. God cannot bless disobedience and dishonor when you violate his divine order of government structure. You are subject to the tax and the civil governments or the laws of the government of the country that you're traveling in. Let me read a verse of scripture here in Mark. Mark chapter 12, verses 14 through 17. It says here in Mark chapter, you can follow along in your Bible. We're going to be reading from the King James Version as Mark 12, 14 through 17. It says, and when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful or is it right to give tribute to Caesar or not? You know, in other words, to pay taxes, to give Caesar what's owed Caesar. And that was kind of a trick question that the Pharisees was trying to trip Jesus up in. And then verse 15 says, shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempted ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it. And he said unto them, who is the image and the subscription or the inscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answered and said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God. And they marveled at him. The laws, there are laws and rules and regulations in the kingdom, a country, a nation, or a land that has been put in place to govern the people that live in these prospective nations. So by observing and obeying those laws, rules, and regulations, and aligning to them, you show honor as pertaining to the specific protocol of the land, the nation, or the country. You know, when you abide by the laws and give you an example. certain countries, you know, when we were in Barbados, you didn't drive on the right side. You drove on the left side. The steering wheel and everything was on the other side. And so, you know, that was just tradition. They were a British. They came from British descent, and they drive what we call the wrong side of the road. And so, just because we were Americans, we couldn't violate that law. You know, we would either be in an accident or be in jail for driving on what they said was the wrong side of the road. Simple, you know. They gave us instructions on how to do it, and instead of having stop signs everywhere, they had what they call roundabouts. You know, you had to know how to do it. You know, my wife, since she's such a prolific driver, she did most of the driving, and you had to know how to get in those roundabouts at the right time, or else you got run over. You know, but it's learning the country. I'm just giving you some examples of things that I can remember, and that's so very important. And even when you're around dignitaries. You know, because when we were there, I'm talking about Barbados. I'm looking at my time too. We were invited to a birthday party, and we had no idea that some of the people at this party, we were staying in this little compound, really beautiful area. And there was only one other couple who had a cottage way on the other end who was celebrating, this gentleman was celebrating his 50th birthday party. And so he invited us to his birthday party. But we didn't know that some of the dignitaries and the people in high-ranking government for that country was at that party, you know. And right down from where we were, they had started building a Four Seasons resort, you know, a five-star hotel. And for some odd reason, they just stopped building. The construction just ceased. And we were just curious because, you know, I'd read about that the hotel was being built, and they just stopped it. Well, lo and behold, one or two of the individuals who were probably responsible for the halting that operation was at that party. And we kind of blurted out, you know, why they stopped? And there was a holy hush. You know, people nobody wanted to say anything. And then one guy pulled me over to the side and said, if you ask him over there, he can tell you, he know exactly why, you know? And then once I recognized we were in, you know, I'm talking about the Minister of Defense or the Minister, everybody there was a minister in government in some capacity. And I said, well, it's not that important. We don't need to know, you know, but it was just interesting. You know, here we didn't know. You know, it wasn't until we really got into it that we even knew we were around people, you know, in those positions. So now you got to kind of be careful, you know, because we were there representing Word of Life, representing the apostle. We were there for a meeting. So, you know, and they asked us, why did we come? So, you know, we're representing our man of God. So you just can't just say anything. And you got to kind of be cognizant of the people and the regions and the customs and that you're around. Amen. Glory to God. Let's move on. All right. Let's go to number two, because my time is ticking away. Custom to whom custom? Custom, honoring customs. Honor customs is honoring the people of the land. You are to honor the people, their customs, provided their customs do not violate the scripture requirements for human life. Anytime you go into any place in the world, and you might be, again, tremendously anointed, but if you dishonor the people, their native customs, the anointing levels go all the way down. And we kind of already talked about that. And I gave you a really good illustration of that earlier about, you know, it was a custom not to do it this way, but, you know, you were caught doing something that was not customary. And so they didn't even get a chance to demonstrate their anointing. You know, every people or ethnic group, tribe, or nationality has their individual cultures that make up their uniqueness of that people. Honoring, here is very important, honoring the people of the land by respecting their culture shows honor to the people of that country. This is giving custom to whom custom is due. You know, honoring the customs of the land. The customs of the people, you know, as I stated, you know, we're expanding our enlarging and expanding our tent, our horizons for ministry. And so God is going to be using each and every one of us in greater capacities. You got to see yourself, you know, going out to different places, ministering. The Bible says to do what? To go into all the world, not just Baton Rouge, not just Geismar, not just Gonzales, not just Baton Rouge, but to all the world. So in order to do that, we got to be very cognizant of the culture of the people that we're dealing with. If their customs and their culture do not violate scriptural standards and requirements for a living, the customs and the cultures must be respected, observed, and kept, even preserved. And I mentioned to you about the situation in Saudi Arabia, how, you know, the customs for women, because of the way their nation does it, you know, you, as long as you're in the American compound, you can wear American clothes, you can do what you want to do, but once you step out of that compound, you have to be suited up in their garb in order to show honor to them. Amen. To disrespect and to disregard customs shows dishonor, and therefore a reward of dishonor will be reaped. Fear to whom fear. That's number three. Fear to whom fear. Honor with fear. Fear is honoring the ranks, the spiritual dignitaries of the land, apostles and prophets of that land, the apostolic voice of that region. Know who they are before you go to minister in a region, so you don't violate the ranks, the spiritual protocols set in place by God's anointing. You know, if there is already an apostolic voice in a country, you wanna honor that man of God, because you're coming into his country, you know, or even if there's an apostle or a prophet that comes to your locale and you're, you know, at that meeting, you want to show honor. I never forget, several years ago, my wife and I, we went to a local church in Baton Rouge, and there was a mighty man of God who came to minister at that church, T.L. Osborne. He went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. And so when he walked into the building, out of being taught order and protocol and respect, we stood up. And we looked around the church, big church. Everybody looked at us like, you know what, why are y'all standing up? Because we want to honor, you know. And even since then, we learned that's not enough. You know, you sow into an anointing. You know, we didn't do it at that time, but if we had an opportunity to do it, we would have done it, you know, because, you know, when you do that, the experiences, the anointings, the favor that's on their life comes upon your life, because you're honoring that apostolic gift. You're showing honor to that person. And here we're talking about fear. That word fear doesn't mean, as I said, being scared or being afraid, but it's a reverential fear, a respect. You honor the office and the person who holds that office. So it's not just, well, I'm honoring the office, you know, but no, that office is backed up by the person that's in that office. That anointing is not so much on the office as it is the person that's operating in that office. So you honor that person, amen? Here, something that's gonna be important. Showing fear or reverence to those God has placed in authority is showing honor to the dignitaries of the land. Knowing the ranks that God has placed in a particular region is so important, so that you don't dishonor those that God has set in place there. You know, you don't want to dishonor. You know, you don't want to go to a country or to an area and start preaching something contrary to what the generational or the apostolic voice is being taught. Give an example. It would be a dishonor for somebody to start a ministry down the street talking about, give an illustration, balancing faith and finances or something like that. You know, in other words, there's a balance to it. You know, there's a balance to sowing, or, you know, you know, saying something that's contrary to the apostolic voice that God has placed in this region. That would be a dishonor. When somebody, you know, you don't go into a region and start teaching something. And I mean, Unless you're an apostle and God has called you to correct something and you go in a position of correction, that's a whole different category. But if you're going to set up something or to set up a work, you know, you want to honor the apostolic gifts. And you want to make sure you're not going to do nothing. The author talks about the generational word that's in that reason, the voice that's in that territory. Because we know that an apostle has a governing territorial anointing. And you don't want to violate that by going into a region ministering something contrary or something controversial that's gonna try to stir up mess. That's out of order. That's not, you know, that's dishonor in a high degree. And you're gonna reap a catastrophe when that happens. And amen. I'm gonna leave that alone. Let's move on. I got 6 minutes. All people are not equal. Not all have the same gift, the same anointing or endowment, abilities, or they don't have all the same spiritual level. Jesus said talents were issued out according to their several abilities. Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country. And he called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. Every man according to his several ability, and straightway they took their journey. So, you know, one had 5 talents, one had 2 talents, one had 1 talent. So, not, as I was saying, not everybody is equal. God anoints, he appoints, he blesses, he endows men that he has appointed as he sees fit, you know. And so it's so very important that we understand that we want to give fear to whom fear, or reverential respect to greater anointings that's in the land. Not everybody is equal. You need to know where you're at. And when there's a higher ranking anointing in the land, it's so very important to honor that anointing. Dr. Philip yesterday came, he and his wife, First Lady's birthday. They shut down a service. They have 2 services. Matter of fact, service was going on, and I looked over. I said, that looked like a Dr. Phil. And my wife said, yeah. I said he must have shut down his church, you know. And he came and he honored, you know. That spoke volumes to me. That spoke volumes to me, you know. Here's another minister, you know, because. He said, I could have just done a drive-by, dropping in the mailbox. He said, but this was something we had to deliver in person, because showing honor to whom honor is due. And I'm going to go ahead on. Matter of fact, let's just hit the next one, honor to whom honor is due. Honoring the land. This is honoring the anointing in that land. Those people God has set in place, who is the apostolic voice in that land. Honoring the land, or the apostolic voice that's in that land. This means honoring the apostolic gift in that region. One way of doing this is to sow an offering into the high ranking apostolic gift with greater anointings in the regions that you are ministering in. And that's what Dr. Philip did yesterday. You know, he sold into a higher anointing, you know, honoring, giving honor to whom honor is due. Without even necessarily sometimes seeing the person, just dropping it off. But like he said, this wasn't just a drop-off offering. This wasn't just a drop-off honoring. We had to deliver this in person, and that made it even more credible and made it even more humbling that he took it out of his personal schedule to do that. Important note here: when you honor the anointing that's in the land, you give an offering or sow a seed into a local apostolic gift in that region that you're visiting. When you honor the anointing that's in the land, you give an offering or sow a seed into the local apostolic gift in the region that you're visiting. A lot of this has to do, like I said, talking about traveling ministries our ministering abroad, but it can be applied in our everyday lives and what we do on a daily basis, you know, and that's so very important. When you show that kind of honor, there is automatic spiritual reciprocation. Remember, the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. There is no seed greater than an honor seed. When you sow a seed of honor, you know, you're giving upward so that that anointing that's on those individuals, that anointing, the blessings, the giftings can come upon you. And that's so very important. You know, if you're studying behind an apostle or somebody of a greater gifting, it's so very important that you sow into that, you know, because you're being, the Bible says, not to muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn. In other words, if you have an animal that you're using, back in the day they used mules or oxen, you know, you're not gonna starve him, you know, because he's the one that's helping you make a living, that's helping keeping you alive. You know, spiritually, you're not gonna suffocate or starve a man of God that's sowing into your life. It's unproductive and it's dishonor. When someone is sowing into your life, pouring their life into you, you want to honor that gift. Giving honor to whom honor is due. I timed that just right. Amen. You guys be blessed and we'll see you next week.